Today on 4CA, John McKenzie, 1-300-872-911.
Now, oh, geez, it's interesting. Robbie Catter's on the line because he'll have a view on the impact of these restrictions that apply right across the state, even though you're 1,000 kilometres away from where the issue is. But that's not what I want to talk to him about, because it says here Western Queensland's been effectively cut off from the rest of the state following a dramatic decision by Australia's largest print news organisation. This is an interesting one. News Corp Australia, they publish Queensland state newspaper, the Courier Mail, as well as the Townsville Bulletin and lots of other newspapers. So there's going to be places out west that are going to be very, very disappointed, indeed angry about this decision. Robbie's on the line, Queensland leader of Catter's Australian Party. He's the member for Traeger. G'day, Robbie.
Yeah, g'day, John.
Now, let's talk about this. How many places, what areas are going to now miss out on their papers?
Well, they just find new and interesting ways to make me angry, don't they, John? Basically, west of the Great Divide, they're talking about cutting delivery. But interestingly, you've still got other papers like your Country Life and North Queensland Register and others that will still deliver on the same plane, those papers, on a regular basis. But these big ones won't. And there's another number of dimensions to this, John, but there's still a hell of a lot of us out here, and I'm one of them. It's not just necessarily old people that really enjoy the daily ritual of getting the paper, going through it, looking at the notices. We've had big issues just with funeral notices, things like that out here since the stop of the printing of our local paper in the Northwest. But it's a big issue, John, and it's a classic example of large corporates not recognising their social licence to operate and the obligations that come along with dominating a media space. And as usual, remote, regional and rural areas pay for it.
I'm just thinking, I'm presuming they're saying it just doesn't pay any more transport-wise to get it out there. Well, you would think if it's going to be run at a loss and you can say to a commercial operator, well, I understand you don't want to run at a loss, there could have been alternatives. Could they have found other ways to get it out, as you put it, across the Great Divide?
Well, perhaps, John, and I'd have to admit, I'm not savvy, or I don't have visibility on the viabilities papers, but what I would say is they've amassed, Uncle Rupert would have amassed a magnificent fortune over the years providing news, and on the basis that he did it across Australia, that there was news transacted between rural and remote areas,
sure,
and the cities, and
sure,
the people from the city benefited from that, knowing they want to know what's going on out there, and likewise the other way around. So they've benefited from operating that business for over, 100 years, or close to, and now they say, well, it's just, it's a bit difficult and a bit too much money for us, so we're not going to do it. Well, them and the likes, there are responsibilities to operate, and the government needs to legislate. And there's another interesting point here, John. In state parliament, the Queensland government, the Palaszczuk government, has decided they want to save costs by not having to print stuff, because at the moment it's by law they have to print development notices and the like in the local paper.
Yeah.
But they're saying, oh, well, here's a good opportunity to get out of doing that. So they're not having to, they're passing legislation so that they don't have to print that stuff, which again undermines the profitability or the viability of rural and regional papers. And so they're walking away from this problem as well, and exacerbating the problem themselves in the state.
They're just saying to people, well, get it online, I presume, but there's a whole lot of people.
Get it online.
Yeah, a whole lot of people that are not still au fait with that, so they're going to be missing out to a certain extent. Can I ask you this, though? Is it just the Courier Mail you're concerned about? I mean, it mentions here the Townsville Bulletin. Are there other papers as well that people will miss out on?
Yeah, Courier Mail, Australian. There's other Gold Coast Bulletin. There's a run of about 10 of them. But I'm a regular buyer. It's something we've become accustomed to, and I'm all for saving paper and doing things online, but we have to acknowledge there's still a large portion of the population that doesn't do that. And being online in Brisbane is a lot different to being online at Richmond or Julia Creek or Georgetown or Mount Surprise, where your internet often fails, or if something goes down that you don't have an IT specialist in town to come around and fix it the next day. So it's a more unreliable medium. So, you know, there's a lot of dimensions to this, and very disappointing that that the government can't wave a stick around at these people, because big corporates get to do what they want, and you pay the price in these areas where we don't have the number of votes to make a difference. So it's difficult, mate. And and one last point too, John. We have there's a very precious commodity in Australia, and that's small private enterprise. And you know, with that tourism slug there in Cairns at the moment, you're experiencing it all across Australia. We desperately need to provide a home for small private enterprise. It's a cultural heart of Australian commerce, and we don't want big business just owning all the retail trade across Australia. And one of the last bastions of that are news agencies, and some of these small towns. It's one of the last owner-operated businesses that we've got, and they've just been dealt a massive blow in this. So there's a lot of dimensions to this problem. It's not a big problem for governments in the city, but it's a very big problem for us out in western and remote areas. So, we've got to look at our options to create those people that are closest to this decision to make them hurt.
Now, I want to take you back some months. I remember you being on this program saying, do you know what? The closest even reported possible case of COVID, the closest to Mount Isa, I think you said, was Charters Towers, if I remember right, on 600, 800 kilometres away or something, and yet you've got these very strict lockdown rules that we're applying to you way out west. Listen to this. People around Cairns this morning can't find a mask for love nor money, so they're not being allowed into shops. Now, the closest issue happens to be somebody who was seen in Gladstone, may have visited Gladstone and may have been infected or whatever. 1,171.4 kilometres from Cairns. And we've got people running around town desperate to get into shops to buy things they need, and they can't get a mask and not being allowed into the shops. I mean, seriously.
Well, John, yeah, I mean, where do you start with all this? Because I've found it's been really easy for the government, Chief Health Officer and the Premier, to just say, shut it all down, let's, you know, we've got to play it safe. And that's where it worked really well politically for them. And you'd have to say it's worked well in terms of controlling the virus as well. But what no one is accounting for, and there's certainly a lot of people upset by this fact, but what's not being accounted for or is debated enough publicly is the cost of making those decisions, and there's got to be some compromise and give and take in that space, so that you know, all throughout the COVID area, you're quite right. There was one person that was on that Princess cruise in Sydney that was in China South, came straight back, self isolated, no community transmission. So basically, not zero community transmissions across about a third of Queensland, that I know of, but really all of Western Queensland, no community transmission. So, but yet we had to abide by exactly the same rules as Brisbane, Sunshine Coast, Gold Coast did, which is just ludicrous. And the same for Cairns, tourism areas. They need to be treated as regionally, regional specific areas, or bubbles, that they like to say.
Yes.
And that allows some latitude to start trading or operating a bit differently and according to the level of risk, or commensurate with the level of risk. And that's the mature way to handle this. But, the government's, they're riding a strong political wave on this. So they just keep saying, no, we'll shut it down, we're being strong. And Queensland people voted for that as something endorsing that. But whether or not people vote for it or not, I don't think it's right. No. I think we have to be a lot more mature about our approach to this problem and recognise the economic cost for it, because you'll see now the state government saying, well, the feds have got to give us more money for JobSeeker. No. You need to realise the cost of the economic cost of the impositions you're making on business. Exactly. And fess up to that and be clear about that. And it's about keeping people safe and keeping away from the virus, but at the same time, you need to acknowledge there's an economic cost to that. And that impacts on people in other ways, and the impacts are not all acute. They might be further down the track. So, mate, I don't have all the answers, but I certainly know that they could handle things a lot more maturely than they have.
Good on you, Robbie. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
He heads up to, in Queensland, Catter's Australian Party, and he's the state member for the seat of Traeger, Robbie Catter.